I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison and here is Dave Crib.
Ahoy, hoy, 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 hoy.
That's a lot of hoys.
A lot of hoys. So Chris Hoy of Hoys. I mean, that makes literally no sense. I, as you might be able to tell, Pete, am operating on not loads of sleep and a slight delirium.
A little bit husky.
Yeah, it does. Oh, do I? Yeah, I know. I've just had one of those few nights where I've not slept very well, and then I went out last night.
Out? Oh, I can't remember what that's like.
I spent last night, Peter, inside a theatre.
Did you?
A
that's
real
exciting.
Live theatre. Yes, it was the Clapham Grand. It was very safely done and socially distanced and safe seats and stuff, but it was a big live comedy fundraiser, which was wonderful. It was so nice to just be, you know, near other humans, experiencing stuff. Oh, what an absolute joy. The only thing that I didn't particularly like, and I shall be feeding it back, Pete, is the drinks system. Rather than an app, they put a little flag on your table, and when you wanted a drink, you had to wave the flag. So it's like quite a good system in theory, but two problems. One, you feel like an absolute bellend.
I was going to say, I think I'd feel like I was being really demanding every time I waved it.
Neither of the two friends I was with wanted to wave. They were like, I'm not waving the flag. I look like a prick. I was
absolutely
like, well, that's the system,
fair.
Lads. But then also, actually, unless somebody comes immediately, quite wearing on the old bicep to be holding that flag and waving it for like 2 or 3 minutes, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Like my arms are starting to ache after a bit. So there you go. But maybe, you know, maybe swings and roundabouts. Maybe it's a bit of exercise. Maybe you've done a bit of a workout there.
It's true. Biceps, gains.
Biceps, gains. I've not been to the gym today, Pete, as a direct result of the holding the small flag up. So I think I've done my weekly workout there. But there you go. Yes, no, I'll try and make my brain work and my voice work. But that's the explanation for that.
Well, that's reasonable.
I also, interestingly, saw my friend Mel for the first time since lockdown this weekend.
That's quite exciting when you're reunited.
Very lovely. Really nice. Absolute joy. And within sort of 10 or 15 minutes of arriving, she was like, tell me about your new car. And I said, I've not told anybody that I've got a new car. Like, how do you know?
Oh, yes, you have.
I know. And it turns out it's because she heard it on this very podcast, Pete. So, yeah, strangely, my friends, like, the reunion was lovely, but slightly, like, I felt like I didn't know anything that happened to Mel in the last 5 months, and she was like, I know everything that's happened to you because you've been saying it every week on this podcast. So
yeah, that's true, you know. It was your way of keeping people up to date, isn't it?
It's a public service, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
An absolute public service. So there you go. What about you? Good week, etc.
I mean, I've been up since 4 in the morning because I'm doing the old breakfast this week. So my brain's probably on a go slow as well. We're just gently lowering people's expectations.
Yeah, we really are. And just to put it into perspective, I wasn't yet in bed when you were getting up.
Really?
Yes. Bad news, isn't it? Bad news for the old bed routine.
I cycled to work at 4 a.m, which felt quite exciting.
Ooh, yeah, how was that? Is it just completely empty and quiet?
Oh, I was king of the road, yeah. Dave.
Like the little hedgehog.
Yeah.
That would mean nothing to anyone outside the UK, I wouldn't have thought. And probably nothing to a lot of younger people in the UK.
I don't think you should explain it.
Great.
I'm having quite a hedgehoggy day, actually.
You have?
Yeah, because hedgehogs were mentioned earlier, because
by who?
A rare albino hedgehog has been found in my home county of Yorkshire.
A rare albino hedgehog.
And it's called... Oh, what's it called? Oh, it's called Jack Frost.
Okay, good, sure.
Do you know what a baby hedgehog's called, Drew? Oh, fucking hell.
He called me Drew again! Did he just call me Drew again?
Because that's just flashed up on my phone.
It's been weeks since you called me Drew.
Tired brain.
Insane. Also, why is Drew constantly texting you whilst you're recording?
It's because I have WhatsApp open on my screen.
No, but it's always fucking Drew, isn't it? It's not. You never call me anything else. It's consistently Drew.
Well, it's a four-letter name beginning with D.
Yeah, I mean, I see your confusion, but also, you know, well, I mean, maybe it's just Pete and Drew from now on. That's fine.
What was I talking about?
The albino hedgehog, Pete. Obviously.
Oh yeah. Do you know what a baby hedgehog's called?
Is it called Drew?
No, it's not. It's better than that.
What's it called?
A baby hedgehog is called a hoglet.
Oh, that is good, isn't it?
Really good.
Big fan of a hoglet. And then we've referred to the King of the Road hedgehogs, and this links incredibly into this week's request.
Does it?
Yeah, because the request starts, "Dear the Kings of Podcasts."
Oh! I mean, that's absolutely not us, but thanks.
Well, no, I know. I'll be forwarding it to James Acaster and Ed Gamble, shortly.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I can only assume that this message from Dalton... is meant for us.
Dalton's a good name, isn't it?
Well, I was about to say, so I'm trying to work out, because this is one of our regular listeners and quizzes, and the Instagram name is Dalton Fell, but the actual handle is Harkness CJ. So what's Dalton Fell?
So who are you?
Yes. They say, "I would send a voice recording, but I sound like Sick Monica on Helium. I'd like to nominate the one with Frank Jr. simply because it has two of my favourite jokes in all of Friends, that being Joey cutting Chandler's door in half and Joey drilling into the wall and Chandler saying, 'You get me, you kill me.' Both great moments, definitely. P.S. I bloody love your podcast and your quizzes, even if I don't win. You are the light of my life, my Rachel to my Ross, the thing that keeps me going. If there were two buttons... one destroyed your podcast and the other one destroyed all other podcasts except the other ones you're involved in, I would keep your podcast."
Hell, that's nice.
Well, that's nice, isn't it?
What a great way of describing the love of the podcast.
Yeah,
that's set the bar quite high, hasn't
that
it?
That has, hasn't it? Then signs off with, "Sorry, got a tad carried away there. Thanks for reading. I'm off for a cold shower now." But A, sorry it's taken us so long to get to this request from, I think, April. And B... I say apologies to everyone listening that it's taken us, Pete and Drew, so long to get to this episode of Friends, because, Pete, I'm going to say it there, and we've not had one for a while, this is, for me, a jackplot episode.
Does that mean that you like them all?
It's a three, every plot is an absolute banger, I think. So, season 3, episode 5, the one with Frank Jr. Here's a synopsis. Phoebe's half-brother Frank Jr. visits, but his quirky behaviour makes bonding difficult. Meanwhile, Joey builds an entertainment unit that's far too big for the apartment and annoys Chandler. And Ross is challenged to name the 5 celebrities he'd most like to sleep with. 3 great plots, Pete.
But which would you like to start with?
I'll let you
choose.
Ooh, that's nice, isn't it? Okay, so, should we just do them in the order that I've written them down in my notes?
Okay, that's fine.
First up, entertainment unit, Pete.
Firstly, I'd say an entertainment unit is very ambitious for a first crack at carpentry.
So, this is... the first thing I've written is just Joey doing carpentry, which is bold, isn't it? And the thing is... like, there's a lot going on here, and a lot that Joey messes up, right? And a lot of people that Joey nearly kills. But the actual end product, albeit too wide, very, like, smart and neat, isn't it?
Well, yes, but the unit also clearly has the same sort of multiple drilled holes that Flatpak has.
I mean, it is definitely a Flatpak. Yeah, exactly, yeah. They haven't disguised it very well, have they? Like,
no attempt to disguise
it. It's completely implausible that he has made this from scratch.
Although, it should have been very clear that that unit was too long. Like, long before it's been propped up against the wall.
The thing that's always annoyed me about this episode, and we'll come on to it, and I've written in capitals in my notes, is the whole scene where they're propping up the unit, the 6 of them, yeah?
Yeah.
And they're all, there's the whole, are we going on one or three? Or, you know, there's counting and it's all that faff. And then they all stand it up and then they step back and then they all basically go, oh, it's too big. Like, it's the same width it was when it was lying down on the floor in
yes,
the exact same place.
Against the wall, yes, exactly.
Like, they would have known this, like you say, days before, really, but definitely when it was finished and before they'd stood it up, everyone can see that it's clearly too long. Why? What's happened there?
I would also say that denim doesn't strike me as a good fabric to do DIY in.
So the jeans thing's interesting, isn't it, coming from a 2020 perspective? Because those jeans look quite normal now.
Yes, they do, don't they?
They're just Joey's just wearing skinny jeans, basically, isn't he?
Yeah, looks
just,
quite good.
Yeah, just like fabric tight against the old leg. But it's a real, they really make a big thing about it, don't they?
Yeah, what does Chandler say?
Matt and Maya, those snug or something like that, doesn't he? I mean, is it because it's a durable fabric?
Do you know what? I'm about to make a really specific UK reference.
Okay. More so than the King of the Road hedgehog.
All the best references have to be flagged in advance.
Sure. Drop that casual reference in, Pete.
Doing DIY in jeans reminds me of Handy Andy.
Off
of Changing Rooms, yes.
Exactly. As soon as you started that sentence,
yes.
I knew you were going full Handy Andy.
Yeah.
Really does, doesn't it? That's the look. And maybe that's where he got his look from.
Remember when the teapot smashed?
Yes. If you aren't from the UK, there's definitely versions of the show in America, but it's, you know, two sets of friends or, you know, two families swap a room in each other's house, don't they? They go into a room in the other person's house. And
yeah, you do your mate's room up.
Completely make it over with hilarious consequences most
of
the time.
There is one incredible episode where the aforementioned Handy Andy and his designer partner, they design a floating shelving unit for lots of expensive teapots, and you can I'm not gonna spoil it, but you can kind of see where this is going.
You literally said, do you remember the teapot smashed about 3 minutes ago?
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, they all smashed.
I thought you started the sentence.
Well, go on YouTube and search for changing room teapots.
It was one of those things that was so telegraphed from the start, though, wasn't it? It was properly like, so over exhibit A is a collection of very expensive antique teapots. What do you think we should do with that? Oh, a precarious experimental shelving unit? Sure. What could possibly go wrong?
And they didn't show the person whose teapots they were being told.
No.
Which I would fucking love to watch that.
The problem is it must have been a bad reaction, because the drama of it would have been perfect. That's what they'd have wanted, you know? They'd have wanted that drama moment. It must have been so bad.
I got emailed the other day by a PR company, and the offer was an interview with Carol Smiley.
And you said no?
Well, I just didn't reply.
How far she's fallen. Yeah, you don't have to reply. It's very rude to just reply.
How far she's fallen? Getting rejected by me.
Not even good enough for Friends with Friends, Carol.
Justice for the teapot owners.
Anyway, back to Friends, is it? So, going back to the start, Joey is really meticulously measuring this unit at the start, isn't he? I don't know how it ends up being so wrong. I know he references, oh, maybe my ruler's wrong, but he's got about four measuring devices, and he's, like, the whole opening sequence is him really carefully measuring it all out, isn't it?
Yes, and just has quite a professional setup, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he seems to have all the like, where does he normally keep all this stuff?
Well, I don't know. And this is, why is this only just coming out now? Because this is the same as, so what ends up happening is he inexplicably offers to do Monica's bathroom tiles. Like why would he offer? He's sort of like, oh, while I'm doing it. While you're doing what? While you've got the snug jeans out. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's no real reason you'd immediately have to do it at the same time.
While I'm building this shelving unit, I will just retile your bathroom.
Yeah, well, exactly. But again, in his defence, it's a nice outcome, isn't it? It's a very professional job, I'd say. I mean, the tiles are horrible, but it's a nice job.
I did notice that Monica's bath is in a different position to where
it is
in the Chandler and Monica in the bath episode.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? The whole bathroom sort of changed by the later seasons, isn't it? But the thing is with Joey, here's my thing. Do more of this stuff, mate. You can build really great stuff. You can tile a floor.
Yeah.
Why are you just consistently broke because you don't act? Get on it. Get on the bloody...
very handy.
Handy man circuit. Talk to Andy.
Handy Joey.
Handy Joey.
I do also love the bit, you know, where the drill goes through the wall?
Yes.
Chandler is leaning against a wall, seemingly napping, in what looks like an incredibly unnatural position.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? In fairness to Joey, it's unlikely that your roommate's going to be sat on the floor in the corner of the room reading.
With his back to a hard wall.
Yeah, it's not... It's just, yeah, there's no plausible explanation for that unless there's nowhere else for you to read. Like, sit on your bed, sit on a chair, you've got a sofa, all of the above. Like, why are you there? Also, a couple of things I'd like to know. Peter, big fan I am, actually, of the half door.
That whole bit is in the open, isn't it? It's in the opening bit. And yet that sawn through door remains for the rest of Friends.
And the only other thing I'd say, this plotline is one of the cultural references that allows me to know... the president's on a dollar bill, because at the end when Chandler locks him in and he says, "Well, hello, Mr. Lincoln," that's how I've always known that Abraham Lincoln's on the $5 bill. Similarly, in the way that I now know Alexander Hamilton's on the $10 bill since the musical Hamilton came out,
which you're a very big fan of.
Which, yes, but it's literally referenced in the sort of the fourth line of the whole show, the $10 founding father. So all I'll say is it'd be nice to compile at some point a list of cultural references that make those things easy, because then that is going to be my specialist pub quiz subject from now on, I think.
Because you've not done enough quizzes
so far. It extends to $5 bill and $10 bill only, so keep the quiz tight. Yeah, good. I mean, great time to sort of cheeky sideways plug into the quiz, isn't it, there?
This Sunday, yes.
This Sunday, in fact. The very next Sunday, which, in case you've listened to this after, is the 30th of August. So if it is after the 30th of August when you're hearing this, then, well, you've missed it, haven't you? You've absolutely missed it. But spoiler alert, there's a whole round on presidents on dollar bills. But yes, 8 p.m. Sunday, the 30th of August, British time, over on our Instagram, at FWFpod. Come join us. We haven't done one for a month. It'll be fun.
Dave and Pete here from the podcast you're already listening to.
You cannot get away from us, but there's more information here in a very succinct little snippet. We're now on Patreon, as you might have heard us mention, with a couple of subscriptions to choose between. You can get Friends with Friends without adverts and get new episodes a day early. That's on our Gavin tier.
Or choose to sign up for our new spin-off, Joey with Friends, a spin-off reviewing a spin-off. And there'll be new episodes every month.
And that's on our Jack Geller tier. All the information you'll need and the place to sign up is at patreon.com/friendspod.
Get yourself some gas and air and breathe deeply.
We're talking on the phone while he had his arm inside my vagina.
In my head, I was saying, could you go and see if the anaesthetist is free? And what I was actually saying out loud was, help me!
CD player. Work.
I'm sorry! Why am I fucking CD player? Where's my playlist?
That's One Torn Every Minute with me, Beth Murray. Available now from Great Big Owl.
Help me!
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To the title plot, is it, Peter?
Yes, okay then.
Frank Jr. Depending how you write it down. Frank Jr. This is the first proper appearance of Frank Jr., although we will point out before everybody else goes, but actually he appeared in
a little cameo.
Yeah, a little cameo when he threw the condom into Phoebe's guitar case earlier in the first season, didn't he?
Do you think they thought, oh, he threw that condom into that guitar case so well, we've got to recast him?
That's the sort of energy we're really looking for in Friends. That sort of, do you remember the condom thrower?
Yeah.
That's what we really, I feel that's what we're missing. So anyway, this is the first time we properly meet him. And actually, like, what I would, you know, we know Frank Jr. now, don't we? I'd say great character.
He is great, yeah.
Really, like, great, great value. But not so much in this first episode, is he?
One of the first things he says about his trip to the city to see Phoebe, he makes multiple references to wanting ninja stars.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When he first said this, I was like, does he mean like those like the metal weapons that ninjas throw? And that is what he means. Like, where's that connection between New York and ninja stars come from? Are they freely available in New York?
Is that just a sort of like, you can get anything in the big city, you know, that kind of thing, and that's the thing that he really wants?
Yeah, maybe.
But the whole setup is, it's just very excruciating, isn't it? Like, they're not bonding at all. I'd say, to be fair to him, he's a young idiot kid. Like, Phoebe is trying, but I just, none of it flows at all, does it? Like, he's obviously got nothing to offer, so I think she's chasing after a lost cause for the initial part of it, at least.
I do think it ends up being quite sweet and quite endearing, though, that to him was a really lovely weekend.
Yes, well, it's the ending of this, for my perspective, Pete, is quite bittersweet because, like you say, it is actually really nice, that moment where he goes, oh, we had a lovely weekend. You know, this is basically the most fun I've had in ages, blah, blah, blah. Slightly problematic that brother-sister bonding moment comes as a direct result of Frank Jr. sexually assaulting Jasmine.
Well, yes, and also, does Frank Jr., albeit briefly, think that Phoebe is suggesting they sleep together?
Well, so the whole awkward massage prostitute mix-up conversation where, you know, we watch it back and we know what's happening. He thinks she's a prostitute. He thinks she's talking about massage. But yes, he sort of goes along with it and he gets weirded out when she says things like, oh, what are big sisters for? But he's strangely excited by the
idea. Oh, he's not saying no to it, is he? Not saying no to it.
He's strangely excited by the idea of his sister being a call girl, isn't he?
And there is that moment with Jasmine where, and this line is obviously an Americanism, and it's very clear why it was edited out of the British screening of it. But she says that he touched her. I don't even want to say the word.
Fanny.
It's just such a horrible word.
was that edited out of the British version, was it, on the TV?
I've never seen that line before.
Have you not? That's interesting. Yes, because it means very different things, doesn't it? It's just like it's the opposite, it's the other side of the body, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
For a British audience, it's a very arresting line, isn't it, that?
But I'd say that's one of my least favourite words.
Is it? Yeah. That's interesting.
I've not even said it.
Yes, you haven't, have you?
It's just such a horrible...
Can we make you say it? I don't want to push you on
it. I'm not going to say it. Aren't there just some words that you absolutely hate?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But
banter?
One of the very worst ones. One of the very worst ones. Anyway, moving on, is it?
I think that's probably wise.
So Frank is sort of strangely excited about this whole situation. And, you know, he makes that reference, oh, do Monica and Rachel work there? A.K.A., can I have sex with your friends, please? You know? The other interesting thing about the whole massage thing, be it whether Frank Jr. thinks he's about to have sex with a hooker or whether Phoebe's offering a massage, she is offering a free massage, not by her. She's just giving away one of her colleagues, free, like an hour of her colleague's time without checking with anyone.
There's also a moment where Phoebe and Monica are talking about the fact that Phoebe and Frank Jr. aren't getting on too well. And Monica talks about the times when she and Ross have like had squabbles, of course, and mentions an atomic wedgie, which
yes.
She says is when the waistband goes over your head.
Physically impossible.
It must literally be impossible without seriously injuring someone or
ripping
your pants.
Yeah. And the rip would be excruciating because that would imply so much pressure on the undercarriage.
Yeah, that it's torn.
That it's properly come apart. I know. What a weird thing. Unless an American underwear, you know, maybe the sort of underwear you wear at school in America is notoriously giving. I don't know. We'll never know, Pete, will we? Unless
why would that be necessary for school?
Well, because I presume like a wedgie is the sort of thing that you would. Like, you're like school age when you're giving wedgies, right?
Have you ever been given a wedgie?
No, I just don't think they're a thing here. I honestly don't think they're a thing here. I'd be interested to know from our American listeners and Canadian listeners if they are that much of an actual thing in American high schools. Because I don't know if you're the same, Pete, but I don't know how much of the stuff we see in films and TV from like American high schools is just sort of a Hollywood version of it.
Yes.
And how much actually happens. But I'm pretty sure no one's ever been given a wedgie in the UK, right?
So along those lines of wedgies happening, name something else that you would like to know from an American or Canadian or just North American listener as to whether that happens in high school.
Well, so one of the main things is the such divide between the football players and the nerds, as it were.
Good one, yeah.
And the cheerleader. Do you know, like, it's portrayed in all filmed things, isn't it, as like these proper tribes, and like you're not allowed to talk to the football player if you're a math geek or whatever, and all that sort of stuff, and it's sort of a massive taboo if you're in the glee club but you're also a sports person, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And I just don't know honestly how the other one, mate, sororities and fraternities.
Yeah.
Are they mad? They sound mad, right?
It just sounds like freshers but permanently.
Yes, again, the only bit you get to see of that is basically everybody drinking out of a red cup and being so drunk it's unacceptable socially. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand what they do apart from that. Do they all live in a big house together? Like a big mansion house that someone rich has left for the sorority? Like, what the fuck is it all about, honestly?
Yeah.
Could do a whole bloody podcast on this, Pete. And by could do, I mean I could ask somebody questions about it because I have zero information on it, really.
So there's your homework.
There's your homework, everyone. Frank and Phoebe are discussing the date. So that's one of their awkward conversations when Phoebe says, oh, February the 18th. And he says, oh, I know someone, there's the 16th. And I just noticed this bit. This is probably too much detail. And Frank says his is October the 25th. And Phoebe pauses for comic effect and then says that's the same month as Halloween, despite the fact it's literally the week after Ross's birthday, which is October the 18th. But she doesn't even think of that. She doesn't know Ross's birthday, mate.
I'm very surprised that you do.
Well, I only know it because it's my oldest friend's birthday, my friend Rick, same birthday, October the 18th. Although Ross's birthday is a bone of contention, as I think we might have discussed previously.
Does it change?
It does change, yeah. Right. I think there's one in December or May or something. I can't remember, but yeah.
It's like the Queen.
But he says October 18th. I think that's the final one he says when Joey punches him, you know? And they're in the hospital filling out the form.
Oh, yes.
So there you go. That sums up, I think, the Frank Jr. thing. It's basically the introduction of Frank Jr., isn't it? And then by the end, we have this nice, sweet moment, like you say, which paves the way for, I will say it, I'd say a top-tier Friends character, Frank Jr.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Absolutely up there in the sort of Jack Geller realm. Okay, Ross and Rossellini. Ross Rossellini, be good if they got married and he took her name. Unlikely because...
He wouldn't do that. He would not do that. Not a chance.
Not a chance. Yeah, bloody. Yeah, you adorable misogynist, you, Ross. first point of order, Peter, is the freebie list where you pick celebrities that you can have sex with when in a relationship something that Friends created?
I imagine it probably is.
Because when it's brought up, as and there's a few things that we've touched on the podcast, isn't there, where you go, is that the first time that sort of happened in the mainstream?
Well, I also thought that about another moment in this episode, and that is when Monica says, where did you get those jeans from, 1982 or something?
Right.
And I wondered if that was a Friends thing.
Yeah, potentially.
Because we have learned on this podcast that so many, like, comedy joke cliches come from Friends without you realizing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Urban Dictionary, if you look up freebie list, the list of five celebrities who, should the opportunity arise, ones allowed to sleep with, blah, 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 the concept was made popular in the Friends episode, the one with Frank Jr. So that's the furthest back they go to attribute it.
There you go.
To sort of mainstream culture. So, yeah, because it's always those times when one of the people says something and then the rest of the Friends are like, what the fuck is that, man? This is a completely alien concept to us, you know?
Yeah.
In that exact accent. It's my American accent. It's very accurate, I think we can agree. So, yeah, so they're doing the lists, aren't they? Everyone quickly rattles out their list, apart from Monica, who won't play along. And then the rest of this episode is spent with Ross making a proper fucking meal out of his list, basically.
Even by Ross's standards, yeah. Printing and laminating a list of people you'd like to sleep with is incredibly lame.
Honestly, it's tortuous, to be honest. Watch, like, it's a bit unbearable to be a viewer for this plot line at some point, never mind to be his actual friend. You just be like, are you fucking joking, mate? Like, why are we friends with this guy?
Yeah, too much time on your hands.
A lot of universe problems, isn't there, in this episode, Pete?
Well, yes, Susan Sarandon. Glitch in the Matrix.
Winona Ryder.
Yep, her too.
Also in Friends. And a indirect one. Well, two indirect ones, actually. Jessica Rabbit, referenced by Chandler, yeah?
Yep.
Voiced by Kathleen Turner, who plays Chandler's dad.
Really?
Yeah, so that's an indirect glitch in the Matrix. And then Chandler also mentions Yasmeen Bleeth, who I believe maybe not quite at the exact time, but around this era, was dating Matthew Perry.
Oh, really?
So that's not really a glitch in the Matrix. That's just a bit of a weird... Oop, that's a weird crossover moment.
Yeah.
So there you go. So yeah, Ross agonises. He's got Isabella Rossellini on the list. He takes her off. I mean, I do remember watching this one for the first time, Pete, and the Isabella Rossellini twist when she walks in, it's great. Like, now we know what's going to happen. But the first time I watched that, I was like... Well, I'll tell you what I actually was she walked in, I went, I don't know who that is.
Well, also, she gets such a weird reaction from the audience.
Yes.
Because it's like, she gets like a polite clap and then yeah. One person woos and that's it.
It really, yeah, watching it back, it really feels like she got no reaction and then they went, can we all just pretend you really knew who that was and give her like an applause? Because it's not a Bruce Willis or a Brad Pitt moment, is it? You know, where they
absolutely
go fucking nuts. It is properly like, oh, please welcome to the stage Isabella Rossellini, a thing. You're like, oh, don't really know who that is, but I'll politely clap. Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised you can't actually hear someone just go, who's that?
Yeah. Oh. But in the context, now I know who Isabella Rossellini is, which I didn't as a kid. It's a good get, isn't it? It's a good get and a good plot line. And like, you know, you forget how all these things would have had to work sort of behind the scenes.
Do you think they invited Susan Sarandon, Winona Ryder, invited everyone else, and Isabella Rossellini is the only one who phoned back?
I do. Like, I didn't... It felt disingenuous to say that, Pete, but it does feel like...
She would not have been honest, the first choice for that cameo.
Well, yeah, and the list is... I mean, Dorothy Hamill's like a funny gag one, right? But the actual list itself is like A-lister, Isabella Rossellini. You know, like there's a marked drop-off, I'd say, in the quality of celebrity for the one they managed to secure to come on Friends. Ross does go and approach her, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
With Rachel's permission.
While everyone watches. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, proper. There's a bit, actually, did you notice where Isabella Rossellini looks at Chandler when Ross sort of goes, my friend Chandler, and she completely breaks almost. She starts laughing.
Yeah, she gives him a little wave, doesn't she?
Yeah. But it's definitely not a sort of in-character laugh. That's a proper, like, this is funny, and they're all sitting there looking comically over the sofa. God, it's hard to say.
You can't say her name, can
you? No. I mean, the real secret here, depending on how this has been edited, is that I've fucked it up every single time so far. this time, I imagine it'll definitely stay in as a mistake, but I've always gone Isabella Rossellini. Isabella Rossellini. I mean, I've forgotten my point as well. I've laboured over that bit so much that I can't really remember what my point was in the first place. But to sum up, can we stop saying Isabella Rossellini?
Yes, I think we can.
Got it right first time there. In your face!
Maybe I'll edit in you saying it wrong. So at no point you'll get it right.
You bastard. That's about it, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah, not much else to report.
Not much else to report. Thank you for your ears, dear listener. What a weird way of saying it, but thanks for listening.
I thought you were thanking me then.
Thank you for your ears as well, Peter. It's lovely to speak to your ears.
We should politely thank each other at the end of each episode, shouldn't we?
Maybe we should just thank our ears, because they're the only bits of our body that are actually in contact with the other person.
That's true.
Thank you to your ears.
Thank you to your ears.
Quiz on Sunday. The first episode of Joey is up on our Patreon, like we mentioned. do go and check that out if you fancy it. And that is the other business, I'd say. That's all the any other business.
Thank you for all of your ears.
Good ears to you all. Happy New Ears.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Complete it, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.